I would like to begin the shir today with a famous Gemara, which is all the Meforshim who deal with this Gemara are trying to answer an obvious question. The Gemara tells us where this shir is a shir in preparation for Kabbalah Satorah, for the Chag HaShavuos that's coming, Mirtz Hashem, in a few days. But we're going to start with something connected with Purim. The Gemara says that one time on Purim, Kom Rabba Shachtel Reb Zeira. Apparently, Rabba, the simple pshat in the Gemara, Rabba had so much wine, liquor to drink, that he got up and he shechted Reb Zeira. He killed Reb Zeira. Then it says that after Purim, he made Tchiyas HaMesim on Reb Zeira. He came back to life. So the question is, of course, there's a mitzvah to get shikur on Purim, but not to the extent of going around killing people. So what does this Gemara mean? So there are many various shatim explaining this Gemara. I heard, and a lot of this shir is based on something I heard this past week from Rabbi Schlesinger in Muncie. So he said over, I believe it was in the name of the Chedushei Harim, that Reb Zeira's name, actually, in the Yerushalmi, we find Reb Zeira is called Zeira with an ayin. But in the Bavli, this ayin got swallowed up, and his name is spelled Zayin Yud Reish Aleph. So the idea is as follows, that in order, as we're going to develop the shir, and this is what the shir is about, and we're just giving a hakdamah, an introduction now, that in order for a person to properly learn Torah, there has to be a introduction of Yiras Hashem. It's different than any other secular knowledge that a person learns. Any other secular knowledge, you sit down, you study, you cram for a test or whatever, you get the knowledge, fine. But Torah, we're going to show many proofs for this, that in order for a person to be kona Torah, to acquire Torah, he has to have Yiras Hashem. And Reb Zeira's name stands for the four types of fear that we find connected with Kabbalah Satorah. The Chazal tell us that the Torah was given be'ema, be'yira, be'reses, u'be'zeya, which are four different descriptions of fear. A little later in the shir, we're going to go into the atmosphere that was around Kabbalah Satorah, that it was an awesome moment, not only that we got the Torah, but how we received the Torah. It was a very frightening experience. It says that the Klal Yisrael didn't even want to go under the heart to get it. They were so petrified. So Rav Zeira's approach in life was very somber. He never smiled, the Gemara says. The Gemara says that they tried to get Reb Zeira to smile, and they asked him all kinds of questions, very unusual questions, like bordering on the ridiculous, all kinds of wild kinds of cases, because they thought if they give him such a crazy case, he'll break into a chuckle. He'll smile. They wanted to get him to smile. But it was to no avail. Reb Zeira would not smile. He was so strong on this inyan of having all the time Yiras Hashem and fear of Hashem, and that this was the right approach to learning. He never smiled. So his name was Zayin Yud Reish Aleph. What does this stand for? The Aleph is Ema. The Yud is Yira, the Reish is Reses, and the Zion is Zeya. Those are the four terms that are used in connection with how the Torah was given. The Torah was given Be'ema, Be'yira, Be'reses, Be'zeya. That is Reb Zeira's name, exactly. Now, Rabba had a different approach. We find in the Gemara that the Gemara says when a Talmud sits in front of a Rebbe, he has to be in such trepidation of the Rebbe that it says that fear is dripping from his mouth. So the Gemara says, wait a second, Rabba used to start the shir with a milsa de beduchasa. He used to start the shir with a joke that everybody should break into a laughter and smile. And you said that the Torah has to be given in such a somber situation. The Gemara answers, the difference is before the shir or during the shir. During the shir, it has to be very serious. But before the shir, Rabbah used to begin with a joke. So the point is that Rab Zeira never started the shir with a joke either. He was totally serious from beginning to end. So the idea, according to the Chiddush Arim, is that Rabbah on Purim shechted Rab Zeira. It means that Rabbah said to Rab Zeira, one day of the year on Purim, do my approach. You know, yeah, the American expression, chill out. So in other words, like Purim, you got to break into a smile, at least Purim. So Rabbah, whose approach was at least beginning with something light at the beginning of this year, so he wasn't as somber as Rab Zeira. He shechted Rab Zeira means that he said to Rab Zeira, your approach, one day of the year, you have to stop that approach. And he prevailed on Rab Zeira. After Purim, he brought Rab Zeira back to life. Then Rab Zeira went back to his normal approach. That is the pshat of I believe it's of the Chiddush Arim. So this was a story just to bring us into an introduction on this topic. The difference between learning secular studies and learning Torah. It's not, if a person learns without Yira, then in fact the Ramchal, that's the one who wrote the Mesillas Yesharim, Rav Moshe Chaim Latzato, says that Einech Nami. If he learns without Yira Shemayim, then his whole learning is like any knowledge. It's like reading a newspaper, reading the New York Times, and whatever knowledge there is there to incorporate, that's what a person does. Rabbi Schlesinger said over, there was a certain Gentile Talmudic scholar, and he was proficient in the entire Talmud with Rashi and Tosfos. He knew everything. So one of the great Rabbanim said, would we call him this brilliant Talmudist, would we give him the appellation of Sar HaTorah? He's the prince of Torah, as we would, Lahavdil, we would call Rav Aaron Cutler? Of course not. What's the difference? He knew the entire body of knowledge, just like Rav Aaron Cutler, I wouldn't say he was Rav Aaron Cutler, so even in knowledge, but at least it would seem that he's in some way comparable. But no, there's no comparison. Rav Aaron Cutler was a Gadol BaTorah who received the title Sar HaTorah, the Prince of Torah, because Rav Aaron didn't only combine Torah knowledge, he combined a Torah way of life, and he combined it with Yiras Hashem, with fear of Hashem, with Kedusha, with holiness. Without that, then even as a Gentile scholar, he can become a scholar, he can become knowledgeable in Torah. But I once heard Rav Shimon Schwab said that somebody told him, oh, I went through all of Shas when I learned the Daf Yomi. So Rav Schwab said, you went through Shas, but did Shas go through you? That's the question. You could have learned it, but it didn't go through you. It didn't go into your essence. It didn't become part of your reality. A person has to strive that the Torah is not just knowledge, but it affects him on a daily and personal level. The Chazal tell us that a person can. There are six parts of the Mishnayos: Noshim, Nezikin, Moyed, Zroyim, Kachrim, Taras, and the Chazal say that's very good. But if you have Yerushimayim as a preservative, everything's good. You don't have it. The Chazal give a mashal of a granary where if a person doesn't put into the granary that's full of wheat, if he doesn't put in a preservative, then it decays. So the Yiras Shamayim, the fear that a person has of Hashem and of Torah, the reverence that a person puts to Torah, that is the preservative that keeps the Torah fresh and keeps it that it should not spoil. There is a famous medrash in Parshas Truma, and this medrash is the key to our discussion here today. The medrash says, on the pasuk, ki lekach tov nasati lachem, I gave you a very good commodity. I sold you a good sale. So Chazal say, yesh lecha mekach shemi shemachroi nimkar imoy. Sometimes when you buy something, doesn't happen usually, but there are times when you buy something, you buy the person who sold it with the item that was sold. He comes with the deal. As we're going to see, an example of this is that when a person gets married, that he gets the shver with. Sometimes you even get the shrigger also. I mean, not sometimes. You get the shrigger. But the Chazal's marshal over here is of the shver. What's the marshal? What is it connected to Kabbalah Satorah? Because Kabbalah Satorah is the chosen was Klal Yisrael. He was the groom. The bride is Torah. And the Torah is the daughter of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, Lahavdil, so to speak, the shver. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, Hashem says to Yisrael, Macharti lachem Torasi, I sold you the Torah. Ki lekach tov nasati lachem, I gave you a very good thing that you bought. Kaviyachol nimkarti ima, as it was, so to speak, I was sold with the Torah together. Shenemar, the yikhu li truma, you should take for me a truma. When you build the Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan, you're taking me with. What does it mean? Mashal, this is an example. Lemelech shehoyisulei bas yechida. A king had a one and only daughter. Bo echad min ha-malachim, one of the kings came, v'natla, and he married her. Bikesh leilech loy la'artsoi, v'litol ishtoi. So the king wanted to go to his country and to take his bride with him. Omar loy, the king said to him, to his son-in-law, Biti shenasati lach yichidasi, the daughter that I gave you, she's my one and only daughter. I'm very close to her. Lifresh mimeno eineni yochel, I cannot separate myself from my daughter. Loimer lecha al titla eini yochel lefisha ishtecha, I can't say on the other hand, don't take her away because she's your wife. So what do we do? Elazu toiva aseli, do me this one favor. Hashem says to the the king says to the son-in-law, Shekol makim she'ata hoylech, wherever you go in the world, kitoin echor aseli she'edor etzlechem. One, give me a little room there that I can stay with you. Take the shver into the house with you. She'eini yochol laniach esbiti, I can't separate myself from my daughter. Kach Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, so Hashem said to Yisrael the same way as the marshal, Nasati lachem haTorah, I gave you the Torah. The Torah is my one and only daughter. Lifrosh mimena inena yochel, I can't separate myself from the Torah. Loimer lachem al titlo, to tell you don't take the Torah, inena yochel also. I can't take it away. It's your Torah. You bought it. You got it at Har Sinai. Ella, bechol makim shatem holchem, wherever you go in the world, Bayis echor aseli she'odor, make me one house, one room that I should live with you. Shenemar va'asuli migdash v'shachanti b'soichem. That's what it means. V'yikhu li truma. That the truma, the donation that you give to build the base of migdash. The purpose of that is that li. That I, Hashem, am going to come with wherever you go. You're going in the Midbar, you make a house for me, I'm there with you. You go into Eretz Yisrael, you go to America, wherever you are, you build a shul, Hashem is there. In your own home, you have a place to learn Torah. That is the place where Hashem is. So Hashem comes with you. So this, Rabbi Schlesinger explained, he said this thought over from his Rashiva, Rabbi Koppelman from Switzerland. He says, it says in the Shira Shirim, "Biyom chasunasoi ubiyom simchas libay." This refers to Kabbalah Satorah. The day that the Klal Yisrael got the Torah, that was the day of the chasana. And then it says, "Biyom simchas libay." What does Yom Simchas Libay refer to? The day of his joy when he built the Mishkan. That was the day of the joy. So Rabbi Koppelman pointed out that normally we would think that Yom Chasunasei is automatically Yom Simchas Libay. The day that he gets, that there's a marriage, that's the happiest day of a person's life, hopefully. So, and yet here it seems it's two separate things. There's Yom Chasunasei, the day of his Chasna, and the Yom Simchas Libay. It seems the two things could be separated. The answer is, it's only a Yom Simchas Libay. When does Hashem have Simcha from this Chasna? If you took the shver into the house, if you took Hashem with the Torah, if you divorce the Torah from Hashem, you take the daughter, but you don't let the shver come into the house, There's no Simchas Liba. There's no joy there because you only have means that you're learning Torah without Yira, without Kedusha, without the holiness of Torah. You're just approaching Torah as any other knowledge of in the whole world. Then there's no, that's a chasana. You married the Torah, but there's no joy there because part, that's what the Medrash says. Wherever you go in the world, bring me with you. That's the only way that there could be true joy. Rabbi Schlesinger went on to explain that a very interesting thing. Last week's parsha was Parshas Bamidbar, which 95% of the time, Parshas Bamidbar always comes out right before, is the parsha right before Shavuos, as it does this year. Because the next Shabbos is Shavuos, and this preceding Shabbos was Bamidbar. So there are three parshas in the Torah where there are no mitzvahs. From Parshas Bo, where we have the first mitzvah which was given to Klal Yisrael, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, until in Dvorim, Parshas Hazinu, because Hazinu and Zos HaBracha are when Moshe is dying and leaving the scene. But from Bo till Vayelach, the parsha right before Hazinu, every parsha has a mitzvah, one or more mitzvahs in it, many mitzvahs in it. The three exceptions are Bolok, Pekudei, and Bamidbar. They do not have any mitzvahs in it. So Bolok and Pekudei are not such an issue because Bolok usually comes together Chukas Bolok, and Chukas has mitzvahs. Pekudei usually comes together Vayakel Pekudei, and Vayakel has mitzvahs. Bamidbar is always by itself, and Bamidbar has no mitzvahs. And this is a wondrous thing because you would think the parsha before Kabbalah Satorah, the Torah is full of mitzvahs, Taryag mitzvahs, that the parsha right before has no mitzvahs. It's something we have to think about. Why is it? There is, according to one opinion, the Bahag, one of the Rishonim who wrote about, there's 613 mitzvahs. Everybody agrees to that. There are Taryag mitzvahs, 613, like the number in the OU, 613, Taryag. There's Taryag mitzvahs. The question, which mitzvahs are part of Taryag, that's an argument in the Rishonim. And they all come to the final number of 613. The question is, what's included? The Bahag, Baal Hilchas Gedolos, who was a Rishon, he feels that there's one mitzvah in Parshas Bamidbar. What is that one mitzvah? The others, the Chinuch, the Rambam, who count mitzvahs, do not count this as a mitzvah, and we'll soon explain why. What is that mitzvah? The mitzvah is the last pasuk in the Parsha, and the last pasuk is that they shouldn't come in. V'lo yavoyu lirois kevala es hakodesh v'mesu. What is this mitzvah? It means that a Levi or a Yisrael are not allowed to come into the Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdash, as we'll soon see, the second Beis HaMikdash, we'll soon see, when the Kalim, the vessels that were in the Beis HaMikdash or the Mishkan, were uncovered. In other words, the Kohanim, when they used to travel in the Mishkan from place to place in the Midbar, they used to cover them over with a leather cover, protection from rain. They used to have a tcheles or argomon. It used to be a cover of different colors on top of it. So the Kohanim, of course, used to see it when they put it into this bag to cover it. But the Levi or Yisrael was not allowed to see it uncovered. And if they did see it uncovered, vamesu, the chashom, they would have to die. So the Baha considers this as a mitzvah. The question is, this is the last Pasuk of Parsh Bamidbar, and it ends with the word Vamesu. We are used to the fact that you never end a Parsha on a bad note. Even when you read in the Torah, sometimes, you know, there's a Simcha, they add an Aliyah. Sometimes some people add many Aliyahs, but most shuls, if there's a Simcha, they'll add, at least they give you one extra Aliyah. So when you have that one extra Aliyah, the Baal Kor has to make sure he doesn't end the laning on a bad note. And here, there's no choice, because every Baal Kor in the world ends on a bad note, because the last word in the parsha, Vamesu. So why is it that's also another question we have to try to understand. Why does this parsha Bamidbar, right before the Torah is given on Shavuos, end with on such a bad note? So the answer is that the Torah here is telling us that the approach to accepting Torah has to be in this, what we spoke about, this concept of Yira. It has to be in a very somber atmosphere. And Rabbi Schlesinger brought the Ramban, is in the Hagdama to Parshas Sefer Bamidbar. In the front of each of the Sforim, the Ramban, Bereishis, Shmos, Vayikra, Bamidbar, the Ramban gives a Hagdama, a little introduction, what this whole Sefer is about. So the Ramban says the following. He makes a parallel between what is going to happen with the Mishkan, the building of the Mishkan, compared to the Torah that was given at Har Sinai. And he says, Ata yagbil as ha-mishkan b'yoysi ba-midbar, I'm reading his Lashon, kasher higbil Har Sinai b'yoysi ha-kovet sham. When the Shechina was at Har Sinai, the Jews were not allowed to go up the mountain. They were not allowed to go up and see. Everybody was curious, the Shechina. They want to see Hashem on top of the mountain. No, hagbel asam, make a border. They could only go up till here to the mountain and not further. And the punishment, chas v'shalom, was they would die. V'tziva v'hazor ha-korav yumos. So connected to the Mishkan, it says, just like Aaron HaKohen was only allowed to go into the Kodesh HaKodeshim on Yom Kippur. Hazor, somebody, a stranger who comes in, will die. Kasher Omer Sham, Kisaka Yisaka. Whoever tries to go up the mountain by Sinai will get stoned. Also, so you see the parallel. Vitziva commandment, Veloyavoyu Lirois Kabbalas HaKadosh Ramesu. Even though the Ramban does not count this mitzvah, this is the pasuk we just mentioned. You can't look at the Kalim of the Mishkan without the cover. He says the word Vitziva. He made a commandment. Yes, he commanded it for those generations in the Midbar. We're going to learn soon, in the first Beis HaMikdash, there was no prohibition of entering in, of seeing the Kalim without a cover. It was only in the Mishkan. I will soon explain why. And that's why most of the Rishonim do not count this as a mitzvah of Taryag, because the Rambam has a rule, we only count the mitzvahs that are for generations. The ones that were just in the Midbar alone are not counted as, they're a mitzvah for those 40 years in the Midbar, but they're not a mitzvah ledoros, they're not for future generations. The Bahag, on the other hand,'s opinion, that you do count mitzvahs, even if they were only for the time of the Mishkan in the Midbar. But regardless, the Ramban says, Vitziva, Hashem commanded, even if it's only for 40 years, V'loyavoyu liris kabbalas akash v'mesu, kasher hizir sham, pen yersu el Hashem lirois. Just like he commanded over there by Har Sinai, that the people may get too emotional to see the Shechina, and they'll break through, and they'll try to run up the mountain, and what will happen? They will die. So again, there's a parallel between the precaution of running into the base, into the Mishkan, and running up the mountain. Vitziva Hashem commanded, Ushmartem es mishmeres hakodesh, ves mishmeres hamizbech. The kohanim were like on guard. Kasher omar shom, v'gam ha-kohanim anegoshim al-Hashem iskadoshu. The kohanim who were near to the mountain, Har Sinai, they have to prepare themselves to keep the other Jews back. Vehine tziva echtia mishmeres ha-mishkan v'kelev. He commanded how this should be, the protection of the Mishkan and the Kalim. Ve'ech yachnu soviv v'yamaroi rochoik v'akohanim ha-nigoshim al-Hashem ech yisnagu boi b'chanusoi b'seisosoi u'miyasu mishmartoi v'akol, here's the main words, maila l'migdosh v'kovidloi. Just like you have the Buckingham Palace, you have outside the guards, changing of the guard, everybody goes, what's the idea? That Buckingham Palace, although it's not, but it's like a holy place, you know, reverence. You have changed the guards with horses, with it gives it covet. So, K'moy Sha'am Ruzal, Eina Doima Paltrin Shalmelech She'yesh Loi Sha'amrim, LePaltrin She'ain Loi Sha'amrim. If you have two palaces, one has the guards around it, and one doesn't. Which one do you give more respect to? The one that has guards around it. So the Har Sinai had to have guards. Who were the guards? The Kohanim. The Beis HaMikdash, the Mishkan had to have guards. Who were the guards? Those were the Kohanim. This is a kavod. So again, this makes you have reverence, awe. in front of Hashem. You're approaching a holy place. You have to have respect for it. So this is how the Ramban shows us that in the Midbar there was this protection. So the Gemara tells us an interesting thing. The Gemara says when the Jews used to come up to be Ola Regel, they would open up the peroches, the covering, and they would let the Jews look in at the kruvim. And see, and usually when the Jews were good, it says the kruvim were like hugging each other. And that shows that Hashem had a good relationship with the Jewish people. When the Jews were not good, then the kruvim were faced forward. They weren't faced towards each other in friendship. To show that you don't have friendship with Hashem. He's upset at you. You're not keeping the mitzvahs. But the question the Gemara asks, how could they look at the kruvim? We just learned in the last pasuk in Parashat Bamidbar, you're not supposed to look at the kelim when they're uncovered. That's the Bahag says it's even one of the Taryag mitzvahs. So how could the Jews do it? So the Chazal say that was only in the Mishkan. But in the Beis HaMikdash, there was no prohibition. Why? The Chazal compare it to a woman who is Arusa. She's engaged to be married. Or she's in a suwa, she's already married. So when she's in a rusa, so she's bederch tznius in her husband, in her father-in-law's home, in her, her relationship with her husband is not like after marriage. So she's in a more reserved manner. So during the Midbar, when the Jews were in the Midbar, they didn't have all the mitzvahs that they were going to have when they went into Eretz Yisrael. So that was like the time of erusin. That was like the time of engagement. So there's reverence there. However, once they entered into Eretz Yisrael and then they got all the mitzvahs, means that they went into a full relationship with Hashem and with the Torah. So then they were compared to a kala after her marriage. So she has a more intimate relationship with her husband. So the same thing, Klal Yisrael had a more intimate relationship with Hashem. And Mimela, that iser of looking at the kelim, having that reverence, it went away. So the Gemara says, okay, very nice teretz, but I have a question for you. It says that during the second Beis HaMikdash, the Aron was one of the five things that were hidden. And once a Kohen saw a crack in the floor, and he saw the Aron was sticking through it, he found the Aron. And it says when he saw, or he opened up, there was a loose tile, he opened it up, and he saw the Aron there, and when he saw that, he perished. So the Chazal says, hey, you just told me that after the Midbar, once they entered Eretz Yisrael, so then this Isser went away. So why did this person get killed? Because he saw the Aron uncovered.
This is basically
the Shani. So Gemara answers. What's the difference? So the Gemara answers your answer with a little pepper, salt and pepper. It's like a woman who got divorced and she got remarried to her same husband. So in other words, that again, her relationship is not like when she got first married the first time. They already went through a divorce and they resettled, they came back. The Beis HaMikdash Sheni was already after the Golus from Beis HaMikdash Rishon, and now Hashem remarried Klal Yisrael. Fine, but it's not the relationship that it was the first time around. Like they say the story, somebody got remarried to the same woman, so they asked him, you know, if it wasn't good the first time, why are you getting remarried? So he said, for a zivik sheni is as good, and that's for a second marriage, it's good enough. So that it's not the same as the first marriage. So that's why the iser comes back, that you're not allowed to come and see it. So Mela, it comes out according to this. Our questions that we asked in the beginning are answered. The question was, how come the parsha right before Matan Torah doesn't have any mitzvahs? Or if it has, Bahag says it has one mitzvah. What's that one mitzvah? You shouldn't see the kelim uncovered. So now it's very good, because this represents the 40 years that we're in the Midbar, and it also represents the period of Bayis Sheni. Or certainly us now that we're in Golus even from Bayis Sheni. We're divorced already a second time from Hashem. We're in Golus. So our relationship is not such a rosy one, not such a close one. The only time in the Jewish history where this Isser went away was during Bayis Rishon, when we had a close relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now we don't. So now Klal Yisrael is back on the track of Yira. Now, that's how the Parsha, we asked the question, how could the Parsha end with the word Vamesu? The answer is, this is all to teach us that as we approach Torah, and certainly we who are now in Golus of Bayesheni, our approach is not a familiar, you know, the expression familiarity breeds contempt. We have, it says, Vod Meira She'ein Yore Boe. Why can't you just serve Hashem out of love? Because if a person just serves out of love, if there's no respect, then familiarity breeds contempt. And so therefore, our relationship, our hakdama has to be one of yira. That's why this parsha, there's no mitzvahs, because this symbolizes that our relationship is not like in Bayis Rishon when we entered Eretz Yisrael, we had all the mitzvahs, and we had a close relationship with Hashem. We're not on that level today. And that's why it's the parsha right before, and it ends Vamesu. It ends in this very awesome way to tell us that our relationship is one where the yira has to come before the actual Kabbalah Satorah. Now, until now, we have 5 minutes left, and or so. I don't know if we'll finish everything today. Maybe we'll continue next time. But meanwhile, I just want to point out the following. Until now, our whole discussion has been that yira, approaching the Torah, has to be different than you approach a secular knowledge. You have to have yira in order to have the Torah become a part of you, not just making it, not just having it as knowledge. So the according to what we've said till now, the yira is a prerequisite in learning Torah. But actually, there's a Ramban that tells us that the yira has another purpose. And this is a Ramban. I heard this Ramban from Rabbi Matisyol Solomon, the Mashgiach in the Lakewood Yeshiva. And he says that it's a mitzvah. We're going to see the Ramban counts this as one of the Taryag mitzvahs. There's a mitzvah on every parent, on every mechanech who teaches children, to give over the contents of this Ramban. He's going on a pasuk. The pasuk in Parshas Veschanan says, Rak hishomer lecha ushmor nafshecha mi'od pen tishkach es advor masharoei necha. We know the word hishomer means be careful, and wherever it says be careful, it's a lo sase. Hishomer lecha, be careful. Ushmor nafshecha, again, be careful twice. Ma'od, very much, three times. Pen is also, wherever it says pen or ishamer, it's a losaze. Maybe, so like four times it's warning, watch out, be careful. To what? Maybe chas v'sham tishkach es advor masharoei necha. You will forget what your eyes saw. Upen yasurum uvavcha kol yimei chayecha. And that you shouldn't go away from your heart all your life. V'hoidatom levonecha ulevnei vonecha. You should give it over to your children, your grandchildren. And this is not just the door that went through, left Mitzrayim. This is for every generation. The Ramban says it's a chiyuv on us today. What are we supposed to give over to our children and grandchildren? Yoim asher amadeto lefnei Hashem elokecha b'chorev. The day that you stood in front of Hashem in Chorev, be'amor Hashem elai, when Hashem told me, hakel li yasom, gather the people together, ve'ashmiyim es devor, and I will tell them my words, my mitzvahs, asher yilmedun, and what's the purpose of this? That they should learn liyira isi kol hayom asher hayim chayim al adama. That they should fear me all the days that they're on this world, ves b'neim yila meidun. And they should teach their children. Vatikrivun, you came close. Vatamdun, you stood. Takasahar. Vahoya boyer bo'esh adleva shemayim. What was going on around Har Sinai? It was burning fire until the heart of the heaven. Choshech onan varovel. Darkness, cloud, thick clouds. And Hashem spoke to you from the fire. And you didn't see anything. You just heard a voice. And he told you the Aseres Hadibris, etc., etc. So the Ramban says that from this pasuk, we have an obligation not only to teach our children Torah, but to teach our children the day, Yom Asher Amadato Lefnei Hashem Lekecha. So the Ramban says, Hakosav lefidaiti mitzvahs lo sase. It's one of the taryag mitzvahs. His yirbo, Hashem warned us, ma'od, very much. ki kasher amar shenizer b'chol hamitzvos v'nishmar chukim v'shpatim l'asoysem chazer v'yomer rak ani masircha ma'od lishomer v'lishmar atzmecha ma'od ma'od lizikaren to remember ma'ayin boy lecha mitzvos. Where did these mitzvos come from? Shalai tishkach ma'imid ar Sinai. Don't forget ma'imid ar Sinai. Mikol advorim asher ro shameinecho akol Yisrael apidim. You saw all that your eyes saw over there, the lightning and the thunder. Es kvoidev es godloy, the greatness of Hashem. Udvor of his words asher shamat Hashem, mitoich ha'esh, from the fire. You heard Hashem saying, anoichi Hashem olikecho. V'toidia kol advorim asher ro einecho b'maymer anichbera hu levanecho ulevnei vanecho ad oilam, forever. Upirish atam, ki Hashem osa amayim rahu kidei shetilmad liyiroi shekola yamis b'neim talamedim l'doris oylam. Im kein asu atem kochav al tishkecho yisoy. Don't forget it. So he says, before he told him the Aseres HaDibros, he warned them not to forget anything from the way the Torah was given. And what now? So in other words, the Ramban says, there's a mitzvah, there was an earthquake. The Rabbeinu Bechaya brings down, there was an earthquake by Har Sinai. It says, Ha-horim ruktu ke'elim. The mountains were dancing like rams. So we think it's a mashal. The Rabbeinu Bechaya says, no mashal. The mountains were jumping around. So imagine you're in the middle of thunder and lightning and earthquakes and fire. And a voice is coming out, and the mountains are jumping around, literally jumping around. So it was an awesome scene. What's the whole purpose of this awesome scene? So he says, the Ramban says, because if the whole Torah was given from Moshe, even if he could prove it with Osos and Mosim, but if somebody else, a Navi, would come and also give signs, he'd also have through magic, whatever, signs. So you wouldn't know, should I believe Moshe or should I believe this Navi? But now that we're going to tell over to our children how the Torah was given, and my father told me what his father told him, what his father told him, and a father doesn't give over to his child anything that's sheker. I heard a word from Rav Schwab, Rav Shor mentioned it, that why do we put on a kittel at the Seder? There's a segula that on the Seder night, whatever amuna you teach your children, it makes an impression on their heart, more than any other part of the year. When a person's on his deathbed, whatever he says to his children penetrates their heart. Nobody says any lies at a deathbed. So we put on a kittel, we're saying to our children, this is such a serious moment, it makes an impression, it goes into their hearts. So we are to tell our children and grandchildren, we're supposed to not only give over Torah, we have to give over the way the Torah was given. Why? Because then we don't just accept the Torah because of Moshe. We accept the Torah because it's coming from Hashem. So it comes out according to the Ramban. The Yira that we give over to our children is not just in order to prepare us to learn Torah, but it's in order for Emunah. This is a different point of the Yira. Because when we'll give over to our children the whole Maimed Har Sinai, we're saying that I'm telling you that this comes from Hashem, not just from Moshe. U'b'chor yamin ulaylam, will believe in Moshe because we know Moshe's on Hashem's side. Moshe's strength over any other Navi is because Hashem. How do we know it is Hashem? Because I'm giving you my child over the whole Maimed Har Sinai that my father gave to me. And the whole fearful day is to make it visual that this really happened because each father gave over this Maimed Har Sinai to his children to make you know this is, as they say, the real thing. We'll continue, Richard, next time.